The Public News Service Daily Newscast, April the 26th, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. World leaders, including President Biden, are now tasked with guiding new climate goals outlined in a virtual summit last week. In Minnesota, backers of the administration's approach say rural areas and those needing stable jobs could benefit.
In addition to his pledge to cut U.S. greenhouse gas emissions in half by 2030, Biden proposes $10 billion to work with rural electric cooperatives on shifting toward clean energy generation. Eric Hattelstead with the rural nonprofit Clean Up the River Environment says that would help in Minnesota, noting that many co-ops get their power from coal plants in neighboring North Dakota.
For a long time, rural utilities, just because of their structure, you know, haven't had the same kind of incentives available to them for clean energy build out.
He says the Biden infrastructure plan addresses that gap. And Minnesota has its own carbon reduction goals, including ones laid out by larger utilities in the region. In Washington, Senate Republicans say states dependent on oil production will suffer under Biden's approach, while objecting to tax increases on corporations to pay for plans laid out in the infrastructure package. I'm Mike Moen.
And now to a state we don't often get to. The White House Climate Leaders Summit emphasized fighting climate change as an economic opportunity. Some Alaskan leaders say they're eager to work with a federal ally who prioritizes climate solutions.
President Joe Biden promised to slash U.S. greenhouse gas pollution in half by 2030 at the close of last week's summit. Anchorage Midtown Assembly member Felix Rivera believes it's a turning point, noting that Alaska is on the forefront of climate change.
You're seeing huge issues that are impacting not only our urban areas, but especially our rural areas and our native villages. And we are more energized than ever to take the tangible steps that we need to continue pushing forward.
Rivera says leaders around the state are working to advance the climate change solutions, including passing a 50% mandate for renewable energy production supply by 2025. While the previous administration openly questioned the science on climate change, Biden has made the issue a priority and recently restored U.S. participation in the 2015 Paris Climate Agreement. This is Mary Sherman reporting.
In 2019, more than 5,600 Alaskans worked in clean energy. Bloomberg reports the U.S. will send India raw materials for vaccines and step up financing aid for COVID-19 shot production, joining European countries in pledging to help stem the world's biggest surge in cases. President Biden tweeted Sunday, just as India sent assistance to the U.S., as our hospitals were strained early in the pandemic, we are determined to help India in its time of need. This is PNS. A legal battle unfolding over the Biden administration's pause on oil and gas leases on public lands.
Wyoming and industry groups filed lawsuits to block the move in federal court, and last week, 21 farmers, ranchers, conservation, recreation, and tribal groups countered with a suit defending the administration's efforts to determine if leasing unfairly benefited companies over taxpayers and the need to mitigate climate change. Eric Huber with the Sierra Club Environmental Law Program says fossil fuel development on public lands is a major contributor of climate pollution.
So roughly a quarter of the United States' contribution to greenhouse gases that cause climate change are coming from oil and gas and coal and other things coming from our public lands.
Conservationists say the pause is also a necessary step toward addressing the disproportionate health impacts from air pollution on low-income and communities of color. Opponents claim the move will lead to job loss and hurt state and local economies. I'm Eric Galatas.
Washington state lawmakers continuing their work from past sessions supporting survivors of sexual assault. Eric Tegetoff explains.
House Bill 1109, which has been delivered to the governor's desk, contains a number of measures to improve investigations into these crimes and track the backlog of sexual assault evidence kits. Democratic Representative Tina Orwell says the bill requires law enforcement to provide status updates for kits, which is especially important if there is a DNA match in the FBI's tracking system. Orwell notes serial offenders are responsible for many assaults.
So it's really important not only that we're testing, but we're really following up to identify some very dangerous offenders that have been in our community for some time.
Reforms in sex crimes law are a bipartisan effort in the Evergreen State.
And finally, Lily Bulkey tells us the Missouri House has advanced a bill aiming to ban transgender kids from participating in girls' sports
More than 250 anti-LGBTQ bills have been introduced in 2021 alone, according to the Human Rights Campaign. Shira Berkowitz with PROMO, a statewide LGBTQ advocacy group, says regardless of whether or not the ban is signed into law, it sends a message to trans kids that they don't belong, which can be extremely detrimental to their mental health.
It's important to work all the time, not just during our legislative session, to educate our elected leaders and Missourians about the importance of making sure that trans kids, who are some of our most vulnerable population, have the same opportunities to thrive as their peers.
Arkansas is the only state yet that has banned best practice medical care for trans kids, although more than 35 similar bills have been introduced nationwide. This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for starting your week with Public News Service. Member and listener supported, heard on interesting radio stations and online at publicnewsservice.org.